my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Though often failed Him, cost him shame, it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world, its wealth and riches, I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to find the way. Oh, once I was lost, but I found my God. Now it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world, its wealth and its riches, I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, oh, you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world, its wealth and riches, I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to live for Him.
I was boarding the plane the other day. Because I fly a lot, I get bumped up to first class. I get to buy the cheap ticket and get to ride in first class. And as we were just ready to board, a gentleman behind me, obviously very prosperous, very professional, was talking on the phone to somebody about the importance of a good woman in your life. And that beauty was nice, but that it didn't last. And he continued, and I'm just sitting there listening. I don't like to listen in on people's conversations, but I was just fascinated at the truth this man was speaking. I said, man, if I could record this and take it to our college, Souls West, I'd love to play it for the young people. Well, they called for boarding, and I entered the plane, and I never checked my luggage. I always carry it with me, and so I was putting it up in the bin, and my briefcase in the bin. And when I went to sit down, guess who was sitting next to me? I apologized for the fact that I had been listening to his little talk, but I was so impressed with it that I wished I could record it and play it for our college students. And the situation was he was talking to his son who had fallen for a very beautiful young stewardess. His son was a pilot for a major airlines, found out that she was two-timing her fiancé and him at the same time. For 1.5 hours, I sat next to this man and we talked about the condition of the world. He repeatedly said to me, I fear for America because she is on the very precipice of the cliff. And if something does not happen soon, she's going to fall off. He didn't say it to me once. He said it over and over again. This was no average gentleman. He wasn't a churchgoer, but you could tell he'd had good upbringing. Protestant, his wife was Catholic. But he could see what was happening in the earth, the condition of our politics, the terrible condition of nature, even his own son involved what he was involved in. But what astounded me was that in the middle of this hour and a half conversation, he turned to me as we were talking about the condition of the earth, and he paused, and he looked me in the face, and he said, Larry, we are going to soon lose our religious freedoms. He was saying to me all the things I say to people to try to get them to listen. Well, I don't know about you, but I carry a special book with me in my briefcase and in my car and everywhere I go. And I jumped up and grabbed my briefcase and I pulled out a book called The Great Controversy. And I said, everything that you have just mentioned is in this book. It is absolutely one of the greatest things that I have ever read. Other than the Bible, it's one of the greatest things I've ever read. You see, that's a condition that I'm seeing more and more on the earth today. I talk to someone and everybody seems to understand that something is about to happen, that something is going on. Why is that? Oh. Do you know what a natural disaster is? A natural disaster is when one person dies and at least $3 million worth of damage is done. Last year in America, the first time ever, 2017 was the worst ever. 15 natural disasters that were over $1 billion. When I read this article, it was back, I think, in December. They had tallied it at so far there was 330 some billion dollars lost, most of it uninsured. But what about the moral decay What about the moral decay in our country? People feel that it's free to go in and kill innocent people just for a whim. I want you to take your Bibles, and I'd like you to turn to the 14th chapter of Revelation. And I want to show you something that I found very intriguing as I was studying Revelation that helps us to understand what is going on today. If you will look at verse 8, Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 8. And it says, another angel followed. And then notice this. Another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, it's very interesting because this angel comes. It's just another angel spoken. But the first and the second angel's message is a little different. If you look at the first angel, verse 7 particularly, it talks about the gospel, the great gospel to go to all the earth. And then it says in verse 7, notice what it says. It says, saying with what? A loud voice. Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his justice has come. Worship him who has made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Then when I go to verse 9, look at verse 9, what it says, and a third angel followed, saying what? With a loud voice. So the first angel's message and the third angel's message is a loud voice. But apparently there's not as much emphasis on the second angel. Yet we all have encouraged and believe that people should come out of Babylon. Amen? I'm sorry to say that when I speak on this, most people I speak to do not realize that the three angels' message is recorded twice in the book of Revelation. It's not just in 14. When I teach my class, I ask them, and many times they don't catch it, they don't know it. So I'd like you to take, this is very interesting, you're going to find it very fascinating. Turn to chapter 18. Turn to chapter 18, and the scripture reading is the first two verses. Chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, it says, and after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority or power. And he illuminated or lighted the earth with his glory. You see, there is going to be a time in Earth's history when it's going to be so bad that people are going to start to understand what's going on. And God is going to send a special angel to back up and to help those three angels. See, the three angel message was a major message in the Adventist church. Somehow, it's even on your church. But somehow, we've heard it so many times that we've lost its value. But now in 18, things change. Because look at verse 2, and it says, and he cried what? Mightily with it. Now all of a sudden, he's saying something different. It's just not an angel, another angel. He's cried mightily with a loud voice. Babylon the Great has fallen, has become a dwelling place for demons, and a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Something has happened, two major things. Number one, this message is very important because there is going to be no more time. This is the last cry to earth to come out of Babylon. The second message there is that the churches of the world have changed. They now are demonic in their activity. I don't know what you know about the emerging church, spiritual formation. The one that scares me the most is the contemplative. They call it contemplative prayer. It's basically Eastern religion. You chant a mantra, can even be Jesus' name. You empty your mind out. And then suddenly you will see bright lights. This is what they tell you. You'll see bright lights, beautiful display. And then as you continue, you will have a spirit guide that will come to you. Now, I don't know about you, but that scares me to death. I don't want that spirit guide. Someone tries to tell you that, take them to Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 43 to 45. And it tells you that when that demon leaves you, do not leave your mind blank. Fill it with Jesus. Because if he comes back and if he finds that it's empty, guess what he's going to do? He's not going to come back by himself. He's going to bring seven more with him. My friends, verse 4, I think I just need to read that because it's so important. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Our job as Christians is to warn the world, and I believe that we are at that time. You are going out to pass out flyers. Well, I will tell you today, you're going to run into people. I hope that you don't just put them on the doors. Every person you see, I hope you give them to them. You're going to get in conversations. I love to witness to people. I've had three tremendous, great controversy experiences just this past week. If you carry that book with you, you're going to be in trouble. I'm serious. You're going to have some really powerful experiences. You see, this other angel, this fourth one is coming, has great power, and he illuminates and makes everything bright and shiny. But how does he do that? How does he do that? What does he use in that process? Write this down. It's several places, actually, in the Spirit of Prophecy, but this is the one I like to use. It's Testimony to the Church, excuse me, Volume 7, Testimony to the Church, Volume 7, page 140. Page 140. And this is what it says. It says, in a large degree, our publishing houses is to be to accomplish the work of that other angel that comes down from heaven having great power, and who is illuminating earth with his glory. So the publishing, putting our material out there, is going to be one of the major issues in how God is going to use this angel and how he's going to lighten the earth. He's going to light it by the written word. Amen? Amen. There's two sad things about it. One of the reasons it has to happen that way is because we haven't been doing our job. But if you turn to the Great Controversy, page 612, there's a very last paragraph. It talks about the faithful of God who have been out there handing out literature, and they are the ones who will help the last movements to occur and to inspire people. Many will come into the church because of the written word, folks. Amen? I hope you carry glow tracks with you. I want to tell you, I was glad to see you handing those out to the children. Get them started now. We'll put them into Youth Rush next. Amen. Amen? Amen? Then we'll send them to Souls West. Then we'll make them pastors like your dear pastor. I just love Chris. Don't you love your pastor? Amen. He's a very special man, I'll tell you. I knew it when I worked with him. I could tell that this young man was headed. You know, I'm 73 years old, and my great reward is men like him, like John Bradshaw that I worked with. But I want to tell you something I am raising. There is a group of young people that are coming up now. I've just been on the marriage circuit. I've done 3 marriages in the last month. I'm only going to be tomorrow at another one that I'm part of. And these are not normal young couples. These are young couples where the woman has been doing active ministry and the young man both. They are teams being put together by God to do a tremendous work at the end of time. Amen? I want to tell you a story. I was with one of my teams up in South Lake Tahoe. Little tiny church there. Struggles to stay open. And a couple of Christmases ago, a very prominent, well-dressed, professional lady walked in, sat down, and they said hi to her, and she left, and the next week she came again. And the week after that, and now she continues to go there and is part of that church. And I asked her her story. I said, tell me why you came. She says, well, let me tell you. I was very involved with Campus Crusade for Christ when I was a young woman. And I went to a convention one time, and in that convention they were handing out flyers to different people, and I gathered these group of little pamphlets and stuff, and I took them home, and I put them in my dresser drawer, and they just slowly sifted to the bottom there. And for 30 years, those pamphlets have sat there. This past Christmas, I was cleaning things out, said, I've got to get rid of this stuff. But when I picked up this little pile of pamphlets, there was one that really, all of a sudden, I felt drawn to it. Now, I've seen the pamphlet and I've read it. And let me tell you, it's not like our GLOW pamphlets that you're handing out today. It's just the cheapest paper, no pictures or anything. It's not beautiful like this. But she read that pamphlet, and here's the story in that pamphlet. This is in communist Russia, and as the communists were taking over, they drove a group of Baptists out into Siberia, to a small village. They didn't incarcerate them, but they made them go out into the country. And this little village was basically made up of Eskimo-type, Indian-type people. And somehow, this is so exciting, somehow they had been converted to Christianity hundreds of years ago, and they were worshiping God, but they didn't really understand the gospel. They didn't understand all the beautiful things the Baptists understand. And the Baptists were trying to teach them how to understand the scriptures better. The problem was they kept Sabbath as their worship day, Saturday. And finally, the chief and they met and they said, these people are trying to deceive us, even though the Baptists understood the gospel much far better. And they came to them, and the chief of the tribe came and he says, look, we feel you're leading it. We feel you're lying to us, and we feel that you're trying to destroy us, that you're not being truthful. And we've decided that if you cannot show us, we're going to give you 3 days, we're going to decide if you cannot show us that the first day is a Sabbath, and that the seventh day is not the right day, we're going to skin you alive. We're coming back in 3 days for the answer. Now, let me tell you something. If anything's going to motivate you to find out if the first day is a Sabbath, that's going to motivate you. Amen? Well, the story turns out well. These Baptists are now Seventh-day Baptists. They studied and realized that they were wrong, and they threw themselves on the mercy of that chief, and he forgave them, and they went on about life. Praise God. Amen. And all the texts in the back of this little pamphlet, very, very inexpensive thing to put on. But 30 years, it sat in her very drawers and had not been touched. But at the right time, God brought it out. Every time, my friends, that you give a piece of literature, every time that you give somebody a good book like The Great Controversy or whatever it may be, you don't know what's going to happen. When you go out and hand those flyers out today, you don't know what's happening. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to say, how did you come into the church? How did you come to know God? And they're going to say, someone left a flyer on my door. And you're going to realize it's you. But you're going to talk to people out there too, by the way. And some of them are going to ask you questions. And it's important for you to be able to witness to them and to talk to them. Amen? Amen. I want to share with you, my friends, that I tell my class. This book is the most important thing that you have in your life to prepare you for the end of time. And particularly the book of Revelation. My friends, the book of Revelation is not a normal book. The book of Revelation has just over a couple verses, over 400 verses. But every verse is either a direct quote or a direct reference to the Old Testament. This book is from the prophecies of the Old Testament. My friends, the prophecies of the Old Testament are hard because they're everywhere. You'd be reading a chapter, maybe one or two verses. You're over here, it's not together. God pulls this all together in this book. And John knew the Old Testament so well that when the Holy Spirit was directing him to write, he was actually writing out of the Old Testament. That's why the quotes come. You cannot understand the book of Revelation unless you are reading the entire Bible. Amen?
Amen.
That's why Revelation is so important. That's why. Go write this down. Go to volume 8 of the Testimonies, page 301. And there's a little section in there on the importance of Revelation. She says that it is the only thing that we are to be studying it on a regular basis. And she can say that. You can say, well, she says that about other things. Yeah, she says it about here because you can't understand Revelation unless you're reading the whole Bible. Amen?
Yeah.
Boom. Beat your chest. But you know God is good. He speaks with what? A loud voice. Is that correct?
Amen.
Well, he knew that not everybody could understand all the things that were in the scripture, so he wrote a book. It's called The Great Controversy. My friends, this is a survival guide for the end of time. If you want to know what's going to happen at the end of time, it's in this book. If you want to clearly point it out step by step, it's in this book. It will help you to understand and see Revelation better and the scripture because it uses the scripture. I will tell you what I tell my young people very clearly. I say, if you are not studying this book in the book of Revelation, and if you are not reading and studying this book, and my friends, it scares me to death how few of our people are reading this book. I've read it 12 times. This is the book that saved me. And every person I can, I give it to. I don't care where they are. If I don't have one with me, I'll send it to them. This past week alone, I've had 3 experiences. Powerful. That God has connected me with. I'll tell you what I tell my young people. If you're not spending time in the Word of God, and if you're not reading and studying this survival guide for the end of time, you're not going to make it. I don't say that to hurt you. But I hope that it wakes you up. I don't know what I would do without these 2 books, especially this one. All that's in here is in here. It's just that it's harder to read, hard to understand. Let me explain how important this book is to us, this great controversy. We have a young lady that's still working for us. Very powerful. She is able to place books in just about every home she comes to. She's a powerful worker, very, very strong in how she works with people. And with the best ones we always put in businesses, because in businesses, you know 2 things. Number one, they have money and they're open, so you're going to see somebody, right? Simple 2 additives. And she started out in these businesses, and the first three businesses, nothing happened. She came out, there was a gentleman outside, and she said hi to him. As a good call porter, she immediately started to share with him what she was doing. And he listened to her. It was very interesting. He says, well, how did you do on those first businesses? And she says, well, I didn't do very well. We didn't take anything. He goes, well, come with me. Let's go back. Well, let me tell you something, folks. One thing you do not do is go back after they've told you not to be there, because you can get someone very upset with you very quickly. But this was not a person that apparently you said no to. So she went with him back to that business, and they went, that little strip mall, they went from business to business to business, and every business took a book. And when she came out of the last business, she turned around to thank this gentleman, and he was gone. I want to tell you something, my friends. When you go and you witness, God is with you. I could spend the rest of the day telling you stories about how angels have worked for us. We have some of the most beautiful stories about how people see people with us that we don't even see. People come back and bring us a drink, two bottles of water. It's for your friend that's with you. You know, is that a great story?
Yeah.
That's not even the best part of the story. That's not even the best part of the story. The fact is that every student carries, Chris's son worked with us last year. I can tell you, they have a handset, and they carry a great controversy in the handset. And they carry a great controversy in their bag. And she called her leader immediately. By the way, when she called her leader, she was in tears. She realized what she had just experienced. And she started to count her books. Most of the books that this angel had sold were great controversies, 5-6 of them. But when she went to count her books, the only great controversy missing was the one in her handset. The one in her bag was still there. Yet they had sold all those great controversies. That tells me two very special things, is that the angels believe that this is the most important book to get out. Amen?
Amen?
We're told that patriarchs and prophets is important, desire of ages is important, but this is the one to get before the people. Second thing that it shows me was he didn't have time for a leader to get there with more books. He just provided them for her. Amen?
Amen.
Is that exciting? Let me tell you something. Every time that you go out today, every time that you go anywhere in your life, sharing Christ never stops. It happens all. I cannot wait to talk. Every time I get in a conversation with someone, what do you think I'm doing? I'm going, now how can I slip in Christ? How can I slip in Jesus here? I'm looking for the opening. And when they give me the opening, I'm in there. Amen? Some of our kids just laugh at me because they always know. They see me with someone and I work into the door, they know what I'm going to be doing. This week I had a young lady I was working with. She was at the door and she was showing books, and she says, now this is my favorite book. She handed him A Great Controversy. And Larry's going to share it with you. Wait a minute. Well, he took it. And we have Bible studies set up with him. My friends, we are the light of the world. Now take your Bibles and open with me to John, the first chapter. I want to just share a couple verses with you just to help you, that this will touch you. John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter, verse 4. I want everybody to see this with me. So it says, in him was what? And the life was the light of men. Is that beautiful? The life was the light of men. Quickly turn there in John to chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. Do you understand what that means? That means when I'm with Jesus, I'm what? I'm shining, I'm bright. Amen? I know it's true because people tell me there's something different in you. The only thing that's different in this old wretched sinner is that Jesus is here. Now look at this, look at 9:5, look at 9:5, there in John 9:5. Look what it says. It says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm told in this book that everything that God gives Jesus, he'll give to me, amen? Amen. Look at 12, 12:46. I have come as a what? A light into the world, and whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. Let me change that a little, okay? Let me paraphrase. I know you're not supposed to mess with the Bible, but I think the last part of that sentence should read, will become a light of the world. Every one of us will become a light of the world. Amen? Boom. I like to beat my chest on that one. When it comes to the Word of God, I'm a chest beater. Amen? Look, I don't know about you, but my God is a very special God. I found a quote the other day that just blew me away. I believe this for a long time and actually have taught it. But it comes, you write it down. You're going to look at it. It's this power. It's about Revelation. Acts of the Apostles, page 585, Acts of the Apostles, 585, it says, in Revelation, all the books of the Bible meet and end. Amen? Is that powerful or what? Look, if we study the Word of God, we become like the Word of God. That's the key. You're going out today to invite people to come. The problem with us in witnessing is that our generation particularly cannot take rejection. You really decide the rejection is one of the worst things you can do for the current generations. I want to tell you, in my life, I'm one of those people. I don't like to be rejected. It's even harder for type A personalities like, man, we think we're always got to be except right. I want to tell you, when I get out there and someone is nasty to me, and it doesn't happen a lot, but somebody's nasty or shuts the door, doesn't want anything, the thing I hate the most is when they say, I've got everything I need. That always just drives me crazy because I know they don't have everything. But every time I get one door, then I start to get this feeling. Then a second door is nasty, I know what's happening. Satan is trying to keep me from getting on down the street. And when I get to the third door and someone's nasty, I'm running to the next house because I know something good is right there. Amen? Amen? Yes. Don't ever give up. Continue to work continually. It's so exciting. Look, when you have Christ in your life, you're different. It shows on your face. I want to, as we close, I want to share a story with you that is so precious. I worked through the years. I helped to start a school for troubled children. And the director of that school called me and said, Larry, I have a student. Now, she knew that I did not accept troubled students. You don't do that and go canvassing. It just doesn't work. And she said, I have a little girl here that I really needs to go to your program and to be a part of sharing Jesus. And I said, no, I don't think that's going to work. And she pleaded with me. And I said, finally, I gave in. Because I knew this person. I knew she had good judgment. And so she sent this little girl to us. And she was a typical street kid, came in appropriately dressed. But boy, she just started to suck up the worships. She started to listen. You could see her. She was a pretty girl, but it wasn't her beauty that was so attractive. It was that she loved, she had fallen in love. Yet look, she came from a terrible home. Her mother had been married 5 times. She was illegitimate. She had never found it. But when she found Jesus, she fell in love. Amen? And her face would shine, and she would go, and she heard this worship about how we would glow for God and how he would light up our lives and how Moses, when he came down from the mountain, would shine and they couldn't even look on his face. And she started to pray that she would be like that. And one day before we go out, she stopped everybody and she said, would you pray for me today? I've asked God to show me today that he's in my face, that he's shining, that somehow I will know today that Jesus is shining through me. Amen. What a prayer, right? She worked all day. It was a good day for her. I mean, every other house was buying books from her, and she had the biggest day I think she ever had. One house she went in, they took everything. They emptied her bag out. Amen? But when she came back, now it's pretty hard to be down on a day like that, but when she came back, she was a little discouraged because she had no proven thing that she was shining. Well, you know, she was young. When you're doing as well as she was doing that day, there was something happening. But 2 weeks later, folks, our headquarters received a letter. And they gave it to her, and she brought it to me with tears in her eyes. And this is how the letter read. Dear Crystal, we just wanted to let you know why we invited you into our home and why we took all your books. You see, we believe that if you want something, you go to a store and buy it. But we don't believe that anyone should ever come to our house and bother us in our home time and our personal time. We do not allow anyone. We won't even answer the door if we know they're a salesman. And if they are, we never let them in our house. It's never happened. They said, but when you came, Crystal, your face was glowing. We could not resist you. Not only did we talk to you, we invited you into our house. Not only did we invite you into our house, but we took all of your books, and it's one of the greatest. We prayed with you. It's one of the greatest experiences we've ever had because you were beaming the love of Christ. Church, I want you to do something for me. I want to prepare you for witnessing, okay? I want to show you the easiest way to witness. Very simple. Please close your eyes. I want you to go back in your mind of when you were converted. And when you had the first love of Jesus, when you had been a sinner and you now knew that you were being forgiven and the grace of God was in you, do you remember how alive and excited you were? I remember, my friends, I was in the heaviest fighting of Vietnam. I came back a broken man. Drugs, all the debaucheries of life. And I was reading this book called Desire of Ages, and after I read the chapter on Calvary, think back now on your time here with your eyes closed. Think back on your time. I remember I hadn't cried in years, and tears started to come down my eyes. I got out beside my bed and I gave my heart to God. Think about that time. Let me tell you, if you think about your fernie, you see the first love, that's why we're late to sin. Our first love has been forgotten. Be like Crystal. Be in your first love, my friends. The last verse I want to share with you is in the book of Daniel. Please turn to the 12th chapter of Daniel. The 12th chapter of Daniel. The 12th chapter of Daniel. Verse 3. This is such a powerful verse. I love Daniel. Because the kids always laugh, because every time I tell them I love a book in the Bible or a verse in the Bible, they know that it's about every verse I talk about. Look at this. It says here, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, those who are wise shine like the brightness of the firmament. Those who are wise shine like the brightness of the firmament. Now, why are the wise shining so much? The next part of the verse tells you. And those who what? Turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. My friends, there is no one going to be in heaven that does not have a star in their crown. We're all going to have, people you never know. Today, as I already mentioned, that's going to happen to you. People are going to show up. You're going to find out they're going to do it because of what you did today. When you share with your friends, with your neighbors, with the people you work with, when you share Jesus with them, they see Jesus in you in a constant in all times. You're going to be like Crystal. They're not going to be able to resist you. Even though they have hated. God, I remember one day I was working with a lady and we came to a door and the man threw the door, boom, I'm an atheist. All I heard were her feet running down that walk out to the street. I looked him square in the face. And let me tell you, when you are thinking about your own conversion, it's very easy to look someone straight in the face. I looked him in the face and I said, I love atheist. And he went, and I left that day, he bought a great controversy, that atheist. Amen. And I think I will see him in heaven. Amen. My friends, there is no joy in the earth like seeing a soul come to God. Take time to do that, okay? Take time to do that today and the rest of your life. And say what? Amen. 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 Thank you.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, smash them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Savior has died. faithful, Jesus will save.
Before Elder Carter closes with prayer.
This is handheld six, I think. There we are. Thank you, Elder Carter, for coming. This man means a lot to me, and I'm glad he was invited to speak here today. We want to invite you to join us for lunch today. We have a special celebration. And then after that, we're lighting Sacramento. And I understand, yes. Elder Carter, you're coming with us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I know who I'm talking to. God bless you, man. Thank you. Have a prayer for us, please.
Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much that you came and you took an old sinner, like an old retrobate, like Larry Carter, and like every one of us in this room. And Lord, you came, and before you even knew us, Lord, you died for us.
Yes.
Oh, what I owe you. Oh, what we each owe you, dear Lord. Help us, Lord. Once we think of what the price you paid, it's never hard to witness. Help us, dear Lord, to be faithful. Help us to do the job that you gave this church. Help us to give to those around us the message that is so important for the end of time.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.